Welcome to Hearts for the Lost, the podcast, where we exist to excite, educate, equip born-again believers to biblically share their faith wherever God has placed them. This podcast is a ministry of Hearts for the Lost and a part of the Bar Podcast Network. For more content or to request information about hosting an event, please visit heartsforthelost.com. Now to your host, Jimmy De Los Santos and Brian Nind.
Welcome back to another episode of Hearts for the Lost, the podcast. My brother Brian, how are you doing, man?
Jimmy, I'm doing well. Feels like I just saw you, man, and in person. And actually, I did, but doing great back up here in Indianapolis. How about you, man? How's it down there? Man,
it was really great to see you and Jane over at the G3 conference. I tell you what happened is we got back to Love Field. And, you know, there was quite a few of us. It was a party of us. All together, it was 12 in an Airbnb that was like a duplex. But, man, Georgia was nice. Atlanta was The weather was nice. We stepped off the plane. We went down to baggage. We got our baggage. We get up to walk in like 8 minutes in a air-conditioned, nice thing over to parking garage B is where I had parked my car four days before. And we stepped out into the parking lot and felt the Texas heat, bro. And I was just like, we ain't in Georgia anymore. Oh. We're back in Texas. And it, apparently on Saturday and Sunday, this past weekend, we broke September records here in Texas when it comes to the heat. Oh, wow. It was back up in triple digits, man, and it was hot. And so I tell you, it was really a change, man. It was refreshing to be in Georgia, in Atlanta, at the G3 conference. And so we had a really good time. Even had a bomb threat that caused Friday night. There was a bomb threat after the last sermon, but apparently before the movie, the Central Church was going to be shown. There was a bomb threat. And we got to see a video of all these people that had gone over to the hotel, I suppose, and just broke out into song, which was, man, that's something to see. When I saw that video, I was like, I should have stayed at the hotel, bro.
It's like, that would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been something to see. The whole lobby full of these Christians singing On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. Yep. All other ground is sinking sand. It was a great time. Brian, mine and yours experience at G3 was a little bit different. I decided that I was going to try to see as many speakers as I could. I did get to, you know, spend some time at the booth, but you had help. You had Doug Inman. Yeah. You had Heath Shaner. Yeah. Jane is always there to support you and be your help meet, yes, you know, as she is wont to do. Right. And of course, you were there and you can handle all things right with the power of the Holy Spirit at your side. Right. Well, in you, something like in that. You working. Yep. Tell us about your experience, Brian, at G3.
Yeah. So G3, right. If you're not aware, is a conference down in Atlanta. Praise Mill Baptist Church in Douglasville, Georgia, actually started, I think, in 13. I think it was the 10th year. Started with like 200 or 300 people, I think is what it, the first, went, and it's grown. I think they said 8,300, this last week. And again, it's not about the numbers. But God just keeps linking in like-minded churches and like-minded pastors and coming together. But not for the conference in and of itself, all about how do we support and help encourage, the local church. So, really focused around there. Just and now G3 is what, once every 2 years for the national conference, and they've got two regionals during. But Hearts for the Lost decided to get a booth. Kind of cool. The ministry, we had some donors help us out, and we got a ministry booth in the ministry center, which was really cool. So Jane and I drove down, left Friday, I'm sorry, Wednesday morning, probably about 6:30, 7 o'clock with Heath and Luke from our church right behind us. And we were like, we're making a beeline for Buc-ee's right there in Georgia to make our first stop. But we got down there, was able to get set up and get the booth set up and everything. And they had that pre-conference. But our whole, and I really, this is my 7th G3, including the regionals. And every other year I had been like you, bro. I did not want to miss a speaker, really there for that, but with our booth, and man, I was just, the first day I was getting into conversations and meeting with pastors and elders and talking evangelism and the need and the help. And man, it just was cool. And actually, bro, when the speakers let out, it was like a massive rush of people. So you really couldn't get deep conversations because you had so many people coming up, right? And you could get some here, some there. But when the speakers were going and maybe those, you know, few people didn't want to hear that speaker for some reason, we could get into more one-on-one, deeper conversations and help and need and all that. So, man, that first day I was like, well, maybe I'm not supposed to see a speaker today. And then day two came and maybe I'm not supposed to see a speaker. So this is the first year, bro, I had did not step inside to see a speaker in the main hall. They did have it playing up on the wall in kind of like an overflow area on the south side of the so we could kind of see it on the wall. If we had a booth, you really couldn't hear it well. You had to go around. But so I heard a little bit of Vody at the end. I got to hear most of Paul Washer on Friday night. And then nothing on Saturday because we were so packed in the morning. But yeah, man, I got a lot of stories we'll get into in detail, but my experience was around the booth and networking with other ministries, other folks. Got a really cool survey we set up in the booth every single day. We'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, man, that was kind of the 30,000 foot view of my experience. And Jane as well. Heath kind of stayed there most of the time. Doug, I think, as well. I got to a couple breakouts, but we'll talk about that later. But anyway, man, that was mine. How about you? Tell me, I mean, we kind of crossed paths a little bit, but.
Well, I tried to come to the booth to help out here and there. And so I talked to a few people, handed out the card and talked about, you know, Hearts for the Lost. So I tried to do some work there, but I did want to spend some time listening to some speakers. I think for the most part, Vody was on point. Mike Riccardi hit what he always does really well. I enjoyed Owen Strand a lot. Mm. I enjoyed what he had to preach. We're not going to get into what they preached here, but I will just say that it was definitely worth it. Even if I only ever got to hear Vody, if he was not on point with what he was preaching, I'm telling you that it was incredible. Of course, man, you can't beat it listening to Steve Lawson twice, right?
Yeah.
Getting to hear him, you know, first day and last day. I tell you what, we talked about Lawson and how, you know, at the end of his last sermon, there was a call to salvation, a call to come and know Jesus Christ. If you're in here and you don't know him. And he basically, you know what he did at the end of his sermon? He basically strung together a lot of verses. I was just like, here's the thing though, he's a master at stringing together verses in a way that makes sense, that present the gospel. And I'm telling you, it was like he's preaching, but every word that's coming out of his mouth at the end of his sermon, I'm talking about at the end of his sermon, he's presenting the gospel using nothing but scripture, but putting scripture together one after the other that presents the gospel in a beautiful way, right? And I'm sitting there going, wow. It was like he was just reading the Bible, but in a way that presented the gospel. He's a master at it. And I just sat there and said, well, if all you did was get up there and read the Bible like that, that's preaching, brother. And it was good. I enjoyed it. Of course, I always enjoy the worship. It was a little bit of a different style this year. Right. We didn't have the Sovereign Grace up there, Bob Coughlin. We had Matt Sykes. Is that? I'm sorry.
It is Matt. Name. I think it's Sykes, but I know for sure it's Matt. Sykes. Yeah.
And it was more of him leading us in more hymn style, Psalter kind of thing. And at first, I think everybody was a little bit thrown off by that. But by the end, everybody was just in it singing. I mean, Psalms is something, man. And I tell you what, they had a hymn book that you had to download and put on your thing. And that really helped me with some of the songs I did not know. Because when I know how to read music a little bit because I play saxophone. But seeing the music typed out really helped me to enjoy the way the worship was going. So it was a really great conference, another great conference. And so just excited to be done. But Brian, we're going to shift now over to the subject at hand, which is You explain to the audience exactly what we're going to do today.
So one thing I want to go back real quick. Sorry. With Vody. I think when Vody preaches, and what I want to learn how to do, and I think it's, is he uses the pause more powerfully than any other pastor or speaker or teacher that I know. Like when he wants to accentuate a point or a verse or a thought, or wants you to sit and stew in a conviction, right? That he uses a powerful pause. Man, it's just, it's like God has gifted him so much in that area that I truly want to try to learn how to do that, because I kind of sometimes get excited and talk too fast and blast through opportunities just to, you know, let especially when we're doing the good person test or we're out there evangelizing, right? And it's like, you know, when you ask that person, you know, heaven or hell, and they say, well, I deserve hell, and that, does that concern you? Just let them sit in that for a minute versus trying to get them out of it with the good news, right?
Yeah.
I think that one little piece and how to incorporate that in our evangelism that I took away just hearing a half of his sermon, it just reminded me how amazing he is in that. So that I took away from my one little piece I saw. And then Brother Paul at the end, Paul Washer and Paul Washer himself. It was kind of cool in the Q&A. I heard about it. I didn't really see it, but he was late for the Q&A and came up, and I guess they moved a bunch of chairs in. They said, where you at, Brother Paul? He goes, I'm a missionary. I guess he was shared in the faith with some worker out in the lobby. And he's like, I'm supposed to be at a talk, but do I want to talk to a conference or I want to continue sharing the gospel with this person? So that was awesome. Yeah. I loved that story. I did not get to see it, but I did hear about it. So in the booth,
before you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Since you touched on voting. Okay. Since you touched on voting. Just let me say this, right? The thing I loved about this particular talk is that there were some apologetics that he used. That when I heard, I said, man, I'm incorporating that into my talks. When you hear apologetics from a master like Vody Baucham, you got to add it to your tool bag, right? Now, we've talked about that before, adding things to your tool bag, adding when you hear it, yep. Add it to your tool bag. And there was a couple of things that when I heard it, first of all, we've been inundated. And I would just say this maybe for the audience that maybe didn't get to hear Vody Baucham, but we've been inundated with a feminist movement for a long time that has taken male headship and the patriarchy, made it a bad thing, right? Yeah. But here's a great thing that he used, and I just thought it'd be worth it for the audience to hear this. But this is how we planned it. Listen to this: how we planned it, us as men, how we planned to oppress women. Let's just take one of them and marry them. And have kids with them and take care of them. This is how we will oppress the female gender. And as I heard it, he was, as he said it, he said, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
Right? This is patriarchal. This is the wrong thing. He said, by the way, men would have never come up with this because we're evil.
Mm.
Oh, and it just hit me how he presented that in such a way that it made you know God is the one that instituted marriage.
Right.
And when I heard it, I said, oh, that's good. I'm going to use that in my apologetic. How can you not? And say, this is God's plan. This was God's plan from the beginning. Marriage was instituted by God. And I tell you what, we had a debate that night, Friday night, after listening to Vody about should jokes be used in sermons? Because Vody will joke, but he does it in such a way that he was sitting there talking about Adam and Eve and saying, as Adam was talking to God, well, you know, this woman, like, I don't know what you did, but you remember I was asleep. You put me to sleep. Do you remember like that that's the way he did it? We're all in stitches laughing, but then he gets serious and says, well, she gave me of the fruit and I ate. And you're right. I mean, the pause that he uses and the way that he did it was masterful. If anybody gets a chance to go and listen to Vody's talk in this particular G3, you'll get so much out of it. But I'm sorry, Brian. Let's get back to what was happening at the booth that was so special.
So, well, you want the stories or you want the survey? Which one are you looking for here?
Well,
so,
you know what? I think it's time for us to get into, you know, what we're going to do. Let's just let the people know what we're about to do.
All right. So, it all started. So when we go out to street evangelize, and I like everything, right? What they call pleasure in the college is ingenuity in ministry. Sometimes not stealing sermons, but taking ideas like the riddle, for example. I got to thank Eddie Roman. I actually got a picture with him by the riddle. And he loved the fact that we're using the riddle. Right. And he loves it. Use it. Right. Well, I see like Bobby McCreary and some of the sports fan outreach guys, when they go out to the street, they had a whiteboard and they do surveys like, you know, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Yes, no, I don't know. Or whatever. You can put any kind of question you want on the survey, right? Cause you got a dry race with a racer and markers, and just kind of write up a question. And again, it's all designed on the street to get people to stop. Right. And then you can engage and then start sharing the gospel. So, well, I thought this year, let's put the whiteboard in the booth. And not only did I have the riddle up on one side, we had the whiteboard on the other. And we had gotten challenged a couple times. And really, the three we came up with, so on Thursday, the main question just around, because everybody, you know, talks about evangelism and street evangelism, but just recently, a couple questions, not a lot, but, you know, is street preaching really effective? Right. So that was the first question for Thursday. And it started getting a lot of people. Again, it worked just like on the street in the booth. When people would walk by and they saw that question, they would stop and they'd want to put their vote down. Then I was like, well, then it able to talk about the ministry, which it did, again, what it does out in the street. So we started getting some answers on that. And we got in a couple conversations in the hall. And really got some good answers. And I had my camera with my microphone there, my handheld, just like we do on the street. And I thought, let me get some interviews. We got pastors and elders there that we watch all the time and respect. And so I'm like, let's just start asking the question, just see what kind of answers we get. Well, this thing kind of grew a life of its own. And we got, I don't know, I got a total of, I don't know, 15 or 20 pastors, elders, evangelists, speakers, you know, a lot of folks, some you'll know, some you won't. But then after day one, is street preaching effective? And again, you got to define effective and you got to understand some things. But then the second question, Jimmy, you came up with, should evangelism be taught? And, you know, in that we have been challenged a little bit in our ministry that, you know, maybe I've heard is, you know, well, people are born again. They love the Lord. They just want to serve the Lord. They should just naturally want to share their faith, right? And not be taught. So we wanted to find out, is there a need for evangelism, you know, to be taught, which is what we do. So we wanted to see what the answer was there. And then the third question was just on Saturday, can you communicate the gospel without words? Kind of our episode, Let Your Light Shine. Anyway, going back to the first one, we got such great answers on the video that I went ahead and spliced it all together on my new video editing thing, watching the Dallas Cowboys get smoked. But that's a story for another day. But I was able to put that together, and it's about 15 minutes, maybe 15 and a half, just the general question. Again, I think I got 12 on this video or so, Jimmy. I can't remember exactly, but maybe a dozen or so. Again, pastors, and I don't know if we want to tell the people who they are first in the order they come up. Yeah, man, I just want to see, is street preaching now effective? You know, that we got Whitfield, we got Spurgeon. He's got two chapters in lecture to my students about it. We've got the book of Acts. We got all the history of street preaching and going out to the marketplace, in the Bible and everywhere. So we just wanted to ask that question. Is it still effective today? So, do you want to go through the list, bro, of who we got? Cause I know I read them off to you.
I thought I could just pause after each one, okay, and that way we could introduce the next one.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And then maybe interact a little bit.
Yeah, so the first one is Brother Kofi, right?
Yeah, Pastor Kofi, out in Oregon.
All right, so Kofi's a good friend of ours. We've known him for a while. So let's just take a listen to see what he had to say on the subject of the effectiveness of street preaching. Here we go.
Question of the day, is street preaching effective? Well, it depends what you mean by effective. Because if you mean effective in terms of, oh, big numbers, well, that's not really up to us in the end of the day. I think, is it effective in terms of getting the gospel in the public square? Absolutely. You know, it's what we see happen in the book of Acts, is what we see happen throughout much of church history when the gospel goes forth. You see people not just in the church, which is absolutely important, but also in the public square proclaiming the gospel. And so absolutely it's effective because it does what we're commanded to do, which is to proclaim the gospel to all of creation in every way possible. So absolutely it's effective.
So in the conflict or the in-your-face approach, are we getting in their way, or is it just falling on deaf ears is some things I hear?
Well, again, we're not the ones to determine if something is falling on deaf ears or not. That's the Lord's work. Our job is to be faithful in sowing the seed, and we leave the harvest to him. That's in his timing. That's at, you know, his disposal. All we're called to do is to be faithful. And so in that sense, we don't know if it's not working or not. Again, we leave that to the Lord. We just be faithful and we leave the rest to him.
So that was Kofi. And basically, I like what he had to say about, hey, we really aren't the ones to determine whether or not it's effective, right? One plants, one waters, God gives the increase. And Kofi was, so Brian, I've heard the question before, right? Like I have been told, I don't think what you're doing is effective.
Right.
And I love the fact that he said, hey, who are you to determine that? Basically, that's what he's saying. Who are you to make that observation? Again, we are following what Scripture tells us to do, which is go out, plant a seed. All right. You got anything to say about Kofi? You want to go to Chris?
No. That's awesome. And not only the effectiveness, right? But I did it in a couple of these you'll hear, but just to make sure before we started, again, the filter is if the man is qualified, right? Coming from a local church, equipped and sent, right? Not a Lone Ranger guy out there, but right. It is from a church, has a local church, being held accountable under authority, all that. If that man is preaching the gospel, preaching Christ crucified, proclaiming the word, you know, exegeting, whatever, expositing scripture. So with those things in it and doing it, you know, and with kindness and respect, right? So with those things being said, right, because there is bad out there, there's awful, there's ways not to do it. So this was all of those things being in alignment, then is it effective? What was the challenge? So just want to make sure that filter got out there. I say it in a couple of these videos, but I want to make sure before we get further.
All right. So next up we have a guy, some of the audience may know. He's from another podcast called SoloCast. Pastor Chris Hernandez. I think we also get Pastor Henry Knox on here a little bit later. Another co-host on a really great podcast called SoloCast. I don't want to be too much about it. All right, let's listen to Pastor Chris Hernandez on the subject of the effectiveness of street preaching.
Street preaching effective.
Yeah, I think, you know, when it comes to effectiveness, we have to kind of gauge on what people mean by that. I think the word we're looking for more than effective, the biblical word is faithful. We want to be faithful to Christ. And I think, when we proclaim the word of God, anytime we proclaim the word of God, we're being faithful. You know, and the word of God, Scripture tells us that it doesn't come back void. So whether we see one person brought to Christ or not, as long as we're proclaiming the word of God, God is doing something with that word that's being spread. Either he's hardening hearts in judgment, which brings him glory, or he's opening up eyes through the seed of the gospel. So I think it is effective. I think that we need to be out there proclaiming the gospel through any means necessary.
And I think it's really cool. The backdrop there was the Compassion International booth that said, make Jesus known. That was awesome. Unplanned.
You know, Chris has been listening to me. No, I'm just kidding. We have had this discussion before about, you know, one plants, one waters. I think I had shared with him, and of course, if anybody knows, Pastor Chris is at Redemptive City here in Dallas, but he did plant Ecclesia, the church that I go to. And we had conversations before about the effectiveness of preaching, because I on a street one time noticed a guy out there preaching from a box and nobody was listening to. And I complained to Pastor Chris and said, that guy, you know, he got nobody that's listening to him. He's not doing anything. And Pastor Chris says, hey, you don't know that, brother. You know, somebody might be passing by that needs to hear, or maybe God is using that person to add on to something that person already heard as they walk by. And you have no idea. And so this is the one thing that, again, he's going on the same subject that Kofi did. Who are we to even say that it's, if there's a guy on a box that's strictly reading out of the scriptures and just preaching it out, who are we to even know that that's happening that way?
Right.
You know, what's happening with it? What is God doing with it? Who are we to say that? We don't know more than God.
I don't know.
And he's told us what to do.
Yeah.
So this next guy is called Joseph.
Real quick. So I want to make sure. Yeah, this next guy is awesome. But just so you guys listening on this know, this video is out on YouTube, and we'll put the Jimmy will put the link on the show notes. But it already has 74 views, man. I really haven't even sent it out yet. That's praise the Lord for that. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, James, the Black Puritan.
Joseph.
Keep on James, man. Joseph.
The Black Puritan.
And he said that is what I want. He's a gentleman, obviously African-American, but also wearing a traditional Puritan outfit. He was in character the whole weekend, every day. I did not see him out of character, carrying around his Bible and a couple other books there. But he was amazing with his Puritan history. And anyway, just want to set that up a little bit.
All right, let's listen to what he has to say.
Is street preaching effective?
Well, sir, given that I myself happen to portray many of the men of the 18th century, particularly many of the Black preachers, John Morant, Lemuel Haynes, Jacobus Coppington, many of these men, of course, being Black themselves, were often quite ostracized in society. And therefore, street preaching was the only way they could actually effectively preach the gospel. Many of us of the 18th century, we had no choice but to do so. And men such as Whitfield, Edwards, Doddridge, Davies, many of them, especially during the Great Awakening, would do many, of course, of a revival outdoors, upon the street. And yes, were they pelted with rocks and tomatoes and vegetables and refuse of all kinds? Indeed they were. But indeed it was worth it. For indeed they saw that this momentary affliction was nothing compared to the eternal glory and to the eternal consequences that they had to preach to their own audience. So indeed, I would say street preaching is quite effective. As a matter of fact, coming from someone, of course, of my time in the 18th century, I believe we should go back to that. There has been much too fancifulness, if you will, in many of the services in these churches. But my hope and prayer is that, and myself portraying many of these Black preachers of the 18th century, my hope and prayer is that I will often show many of those that the historic Black church was founded upon these very principles of the doctrines of grace. It was not founded upon Arminianism or Pentecostals or Word of Faith, but it was founded upon the very doctrines of Scripture since the time of the Reformation. And many of them saw it worth to go out from their own congregation, go out into the street. There, one such preacher by the name of Jack, he himself was whipped 39 times upon three separate occasions for just preaching the gospel, for it was illegal. But it is worth it.
Thank you, brother.
Man, that was an interesting conversation. I love his use of the word indeed. Indeed it is, indeed. and definitely fun to watch, right? Like he is really dressed up in
the
hat. Costume.
He's got the Puritan outfit. It was, and I know he caused a stir wherever he went, and was just again never broke character. Did a great job. Was fascinating.
Yeah, I see. He's wearing his G3 badge up in his hat.
his hat.
Interesting. All right, so the next guy that we have up is Chocolate Knox.
Yeah.
A lot of people might know him from the podcast Cross Politic. It's a pretty big podcast out there. But let's take a listen.
And just a side note. It's the only person that I saw where Dr. James White came up to Chuck Knox right by our booth and kept talking to him. So yeah, he's got that with Dr. White. But yeah, this one was a fun one.
All right, here we go.
We're asking everybody out here: is street preaching effective? Oh.
Let's pause. That's right. Who is this?
This is Pastor Brett Baggett out of Oklahoma, abolitionist and pastor of church in Muskegee. I hope I said that right. Sorry, Pastor Brett. But yeah, we got Pastor Brett first.
brother, that was my fault. I looked and I had the list up here, and I went to Chocolate Knox.
Everybody's excited for Chalk Knox, but can't, you know, Pastor Brett first.
Let's see. Let's hear what Pastor Brett Baggett has to say on the subject.
Well, I think another way you could just ask it is preaching effective? Is the word of God effective? Does God use his word to convert sinners or to sanctify saints? And the answer has to be yes. So you find a place where people are and you proclaim the word of God to them. Yeah, it'll be as effective as God wants it to be in that moment. And so street preaching has to be effective. The word of the Lord doesn't return void.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Pastor Brett Baggett. Where was he from again, Brian?
Ecclesia in Muskegee. I hope I'm saying that right. In Oklahoma.
So there's another church called Ecclesia?
It is, man. It's almost like it's Greek or something. Yeah, man, he's big in the abolitionist movement and working at the mills and leading that effort. Does a great job and just a loving pastor and just very wise. And I follow him online. I've met him a few times at G3 and just a great guy.
Awesome. Okay, so now is the point that we are at Chocolate Knox. Let's take a listen.
That's the question, bro. Is street preaching effective?
Absolutely. Nike does it all the time. Reebok does it all the time. Pepsi, Coke, they do it all the time. People love to wear their favorite brands when they go into football games. They're wearing their team jersey, and nobody says anything. They come out, they have their tattoos on their arms. You know, they have their favorite baseball cap. They're preaching a message constantly to everyone about what it is and who it is they love. Why would we be afraid to talk about the God who saved us from our sins in a public arena? We might not have the tattoos, but we have baptism. That is our mark. Baptism has marked us out as being a part of Christ's family and part of his church. And we want to proclaim that message. And our tattoo, our team jersey, our hat is the proclamation of Jesus Christ in the public sphere. And the reason it's so important in the public sphere, because it's God's world. Air is his. Is street preaching it? Yeah, of course. It's extremely effective because it's God's air. It's God's world. It's God's space. Every square inch belongs to him. And this square inch that you go out to preach at deserves to have the gospel because Christ has died for that area, right? And so, yeah, it's extremely effective. We need to do it. And we're the only people out there who seem to be afraid of repping our brand. And we got to stop as Christians.
Thank you.
That was awesome. We're afraid of repping our brand, man. I love it.
I got to tell you, this is a... This one thing I've learned at G3, like you can go, I see the shirts they got, right? Like right now I'm wearing one of the G3 shirts, yeah. Got Gospel, Grace, and Glory, right? And you can buy all kinds of shirts there, t-shirts. I got a bunch of t-shirts that every year I go and I buy a few t-shirts, right? And they've got different things on them. And you know, they do bring up questions. Right. I bought a shirt that just says on it, chapter and verse, please. Mm-hmm. And I love that shirt. I wore it the last day. I wore it on Saturday, and people were like, hey, I love that shirt, man. What does it mean? I said, well, it means that the next time I hear somebody tell me, well, the Lord told me, I'm going to say chapter and verse, please. Right. But, and I thought it was, it's interesting, but I love the way that he put that. We're repping our brand, right? We're the only ones afraid to rep our brand.
Right.
And I got to take that to somebody.
We got
to
make a shirt.
You know,
repping our brand. Just repping our brand.
Repping our brand. Jesus Christ. You know, that was good. This next guy is of no relation to Chocolate Knox. Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're cousins. I'll have to ask Pastor Henry Knox because I see him every Sunday. This is my pastor at Ecclesia, Pastor Henry Knox. Let's take a listen.
Street preaching effective. Yeah, I absolutely believe that it is. I think people don't like this answer, but when I hear people ask that question, it's always something behind the question. But I would submit to them, have you read the book of Lamentation? Is it, when you talk about effectiveness, do you mean converts, simple converts? Do you mean numbers? Do you mean seat fillers? Or do you mean preaching and heralding the word of God and making disciples? I think that's the biggest thing that people are not looking at in terms of scripture. When you look at the early church, yeah, I mean, 3,000 souls were saved, but how many weren't? How many rejected Jesus Christ? There were 12 disciples, but there were many other disciples, correct? So I think it depends on who is asking the question and who defines effectiveness. But I would say, yes, it's effective. And here's another harsh truth is that Peter says that some people are just being fattened for the slaughter until the day of judgment.
And some people are going to be saved, sanctified through Jesus Christ, and glory to God, they'll be in heaven with us. So either way, I still say yes.
Awesome, brother. Thank you.
Again, I love that he brought up Lamentations. I love that he brought up Peter talking about fattened to the slaughter. There's another thing. I think, let me just address this real quick. The fact that people want to see, and when they ask the question behind the question, or the actual thing behind the question is, if you have a leader in a church that is saying, well, is it even effective? What they're looking at is how many people are in the seats in their particular church, right? That's not how God sees it, right? God is doing one of two things when the word of God goes out. He's either hardening hearts like he did with Pharaoh, or he's breaking hearts the way he did with Paul, right? The Apostle Paul. I would just say this one thing. What a great way of putting it. It's doing something. And the effectiveness, really, we should leave defined by God. And ultimately, when people want to define it in terms of butts and seats, I've always said that, Brian. I've always said that. Yep. If all you're looking at is butts and seats, man, you're going to think it's not effective, right? But who are we, right?
Or what level of effectiveness, right? I mean, if we're out preaching in the street, what's the level of effectiveness? 30 people coming to the faith, 25, 10, right? Who, what is that, right? And then we even know. So, no, man, I love, and I'm going to Ryan Denton on this one on our show not too long ago. He said, our job is to make Christ known. That is effective, right? What happens after that is all up to the Lord. Effective to me is, are you doing it biblically? And B, are you doing it in a way that brings glory to the Lord? Are you discipling people while you're doing it? Are you, you know, all those things. We are glorifying the Lord in and of that act. So yeah, that was good. Pastor, and then defining effective. I loved how he started with that. And that was a common thing. We need to define effective. And that's why I kept the question very short. I didn't want to lead them or get anywhere, but they're all taking it there. It's great.
Yeah. All right. This next one is Pastor Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Luke's ministry. That is the ministry that would take a Bible and redo it to where I actually met Pastor Jeffrey Rice on pre-conference day when he was, and I told him that he was suborning the breaking of the 10th commandment. He looked at me kind of funny, and then I looked at him and I said, brother, you make me covet every time I see one of these Bibles, man. So,
oh, man. So good. They are so good.
They're nice Bibles. Yeah. All right, let's listen to what he has to say on the subject.
Street preaching is effective.
Well, so when I first started reading the Bible, 9/11, I started going to church 2 years later. I walked an aisle, shook a hand, signed a card. They didn't even have me to pray a prayer. They just received me in. And then 2 years after that, I heard Ray Comfort preaching in the open air. Saw myself naked before God, knowing I needed to be clothed. I never heard that in the church. Hearing Ray Comfort, I repented and put it in my faith in Christ. So I think it's absolutely effective because I'm living proof.
Wow.
Wow.
That was short and sweet, wasn't it?
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people, when we talk about evangelism and doing it, Helsbeck's kept secret is in there somewhere in their past, or Ray doing some of that. So, but yeah, that was powerful. That was powerful.
There's a guy that I know that his name's Dale that used to go out witnessing with us when I was in the group in Plano, and Dale presented to me this one fact that he had been going to church for years. We're talking, Brian, something like 20, 25 years that he was going to church and had never heard the gospel until he heard Ray Comfort preach Hell's Best Kept Secret. And when he heard it, it changed him. He's like, wait a minute, what have I been doing this whole time but posturing? I thought I was doing the right thing. I was going to church every Sunday, checking off the box, but I'd never repented and put my trust in Jesus Christ. So amazing, right? Amazing. All right. Next, we have our good friend, Dr. Anthony Silvestro. Man, I got to spend some time with Dr. Anthony Silvestro during ShepCon earlier this year. We were in the same Airbnb. Great guy. Really enjoyed talking to him. He is a doctor, very intelligent man. I would say, I hope when he hears this, he knows that I mean that. I really do see him that way. I enjoyed very much talking to him. It was enlightening, to say the least. Great guy. So let's take a listen to Dr. Anthony Silvestro.
Street preaching effective.
Absolutely. I'm going to share a quick story about this. So I was at an Ohio State Buckeyes football game several years ago. Went down with two other evangelists from Cleveland, Ohio, took the two-hour drive. And we stood at a street corner, and the one guy started preaching, Book of John. And we sat there and watched as police officers would stop the people, not allow them to cross the street for 3-4 minutes at a time to allow the traffic to come through. And so as our friend was preaching through the entire Gospel of John, 2.5 hours, he read the whole thing, we sat back and just watched it with amazement. We saw people of all ages that were walking by stopping. Some had scowls on their faces. Some were looking with intent. There were little kids that would walk by and slow down as their parents walked ahead. And what we saw, what I got a chance to see, I didn't get a chance to preach that day, but it was in God's grace that I got to see every single person is affected by the gospel proclamation. And it's rejecting some, it's attracting others, but people don't walk by neutral. And that was a huge mark in my life as an open-air preacher. And so is it effective? Absolutely. Every time I go to a college campus and I bring evangelists with me, one of us is evangelizing from the open air with our mic on. And no matter how many people don't stop, all I have to do is point out to the crowd and say, look at all the evangelists and conversations the entire afternoon. Is it effective? Absolutely.
Wow.
Wow.
Good stuff. I love the story, right?
Yeah.
I love the story. Being able to sit back and watch it happen. You know, just saying that reminds me of, and I've mentioned this probably before, a guy on the train that I saw when I asked him, had he ever told a lie? And what does that make you? I asked him, and he got upset. Man, I ain't no liar. And he kind of bowed up on me. And then when I asked him the next question, how many lies do you have to tell to become a liar? 1, 10, or 100? And his face just changed. Well, actually, all his friends sitting next to him, oh, he got you there. But you could see him get thoughtful, pensive, just kind of think about it for a minute and think, okay, I'm a liar. And it changed. The conversation changed from that moment. The gospel does wonders, right? Like it's going to do what it's going to do. Anything to add to Brian? To
that? Yeah, no, I was able, when we got done with when you and I met at Ambassador Academy in what, 2018, that was probably June or July. Well, in August, September timeframe, Anthony and Andrew Rappaport invited their team to New York City to open air in Manhattan. I kind of saw it online. And I said, hey, can anybody join? Just jokingly. And I'm like, come on, right? So I got to play in Union Square and Washington Square, which is Midtown. And Washington Square, I believe, is the one that's right outside of NYU. So I remember when Anthony got up and I'm talking to 300 students and he started talking about, you know, his anti-evolution, got into some of that conversation with some folks that were asking questions. Man, you talk about, but man, he held firm to the gospel and did it in such a way. I was like, there's no way I can do this, right? This is my first open air out of Ambassador Academy. So, but yeah, it was cool. I got up and did the good person test, but Anthony does a great job, in pre-sup apologetics and really, answering, you know, the normal worldview, that you get, out in the street and just holding firm to the biblical worldview very well.
All right. So who we have next, is
Samuel Say, yeah. Right? Oh, I thought you were asking me. Sorry.
No. I was about to say he's pretty well known in our circles.
Yeah.
And he's got a great story. Yeah. Social media. He's got Canada. A big following. Yeah. Yep. He got married. Everybody knows he got married not too long ago. Man, I tell you, when I met him at G3, I was like, he's different. He looks different to me from what he looks like on social media. Don't let social media fool you. I might be taller than you think. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But same to say, you know, when I saw him, I knew who he was, but he did look a little bit different to me. But let's listen to what he has to say on the subject.
Street preaching is effective.
Absolutely, because it's preaching the gospel. The Bible is very clear that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say where, either from the pulpit, from the streets, even on social media, but especially from streets. It absolutely saves people. I know people who've been saved through street preaching, so I know it's very effective. It's, to me, unthinkable that anybody would doubt that it's actually effective. Of course it is, right? It doesn't matter where it's happening. If it's preaching, it will save people. And sometimes it may not be immediate, but even me, I remember before I became a believer, hearing street preachers and really thinking about where am I at? Where am I? Where do I stand with the Lord? And then God used that eventually to rescue me from my sin and from his wrath. So it absolutely is effective.
That was good. That was good. I got to say that hearing him say that, him sitting and thinking about this, and maybe it takes some time, encourages me as an evangelist. I'm encouraged by the fact that he said that, right? Like, I listen, I think about it, right? We don't even know what people are thinking, right? No. Like, we just need to be faithful to preach the gospel, right?
We had an opportunity, it was last Colts game, right? And there's 65,000 people, right? So just crazy mass people coming at you and walking around, and we're handing out tracts, and myself or Heath or Jaron are out preaching. We kind of rotate around turns. And I was off the mic and I was just handing out tracts, right? And across the street is the Jehovah Witness stand, right? So Jaron and Heath went over there, talked to them a little bit earlier, but they came back. And when I got done, I was just handing out tracts, and this lady walked by and she goes, "Oh, I'm not allowed to take tracts." I found out later she was a Jehovah Witness, but she looked at me dead square in the eye and said, "But I'm listening. I'm listening," and kept walking. So even though the fact she couldn't take any tracts, she was over, you know, we're preaching, you know, Jesus Christ is Lord. And we did get into John 1 a lot after that, but, you just never know who's listening. And even if, you know, of all the people going into the game, if I always say, you know, if we can just put a pebble in their shoe to give them something to think about, that, you know, we have no idea if that hard, you know, that person's like ears are closed or try to anyway, and they're just walking straight forward. But if they're sitting in that game going, "Man, what happens if I do? Am I going to heaven? I'm not sure." Or we never know those people. And it could be that day. It could be 5 years. You know, like I tell this story all the time. I didn't come to faith till 44 years old. That was 14 years ago. But if you'd have seen me in my 40s before 44, you'd have said, "There's no way that dude heard anything. He's not, no way." You just never know who's hearing the gospel and what heart is going to get cracked. And we just got to be faithful and keep preaching the word of God.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right. The next guy that we got on is named Darren Stid.
Let's Pastor take a listen Darren to what... from Frankfort, Indiana.
Pastor Darren, Frankfort, Indiana. All right, here we go.
Do you think, or is street preaching effective?
Yeah, absolutely. I think street preaching, when you consider church history, okay, we're going all the way back to the church in Acts, even back to the ministry of Jesus. The overwhelming majority of the sermons that we see preached in the Bible are preached on the street. We study the course of church history. Many of the greatest sermons that were ever preached in church history were preached on the streets. In the probably the most important pastoral ministry book ever written, Lectures to My Students by Charles Spurgeon, he has an entire chapter on defending and the necessity of street preaching. The Great Awakening happened largely through street preaching. And so here's the reality, is that the Spirit of God uses the proclamation of the Word of God to transform hearts and minds. And so, yes, it's effective. When the preaching of the Word of God goes forth, it's effective. God uses the proclamation of His Word as a means of saving sinners and then transforming them into the image of His Son. So I would say, yes, it very much is effective, both according to the Word of God, according to church history, and then I would also say according to my own ministry. We've seen many people saved on the streets, and so I would say it's a tremendously effective way to go about doing evangelism.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said. I love that he took us all the way back to Jesus. So I don't think people realize this a lot of times, but Jesus was not in the synagogue or in the church when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
What does it mean, the Sermon on the Mount? That means he was on a mount. He was on a mountain, on a mountainside. Yeah. Yeah. He preached to a bunch of people from a boat, right? Come on, he was outdoors. he was not in some lofty Vatican City, whatever, I don't know, something like that, that wasn't the case. I love that he took us all the way back to Jesus, right? What we've got next, Brian, the last two. So we've
last
gone
two.
Through 10.
Yeah, so this one kind of came about. Heath and I were walking down to the bookstore and bumped into a gentleman. I don't know if you'll know this name or not, but bumped into a gentleman that I kind of asked him first. Hey, he said, what do you got the camera and the mic for? He came to Indianapolis and did a conference in Indianapolis. We were able to go out with a group, Andrew and a bunch of them, to Joella's Hot Chicken here locally, and he loved it. But so we kind of connect on that now. He saw me with the camera and said, what are you guys doing? I told him, he said, I would love to answer. So here you go. Oh, yeah. You want me to tell or no?
Tell it, brother.
Yeah.
Tell
so
it.
Justin Peters' ministry has been so integral. Just for me and my wife. And I just love this man. One of those humble men you'll ever meet in your life. And I wanted to ask him this question.
Here we go. Justin Peters.
Street preaching effective?
Yes. Yes. Street preaching is effective. Absolutely. I mean, you look, you see some of the, what we would call, you know, some of our fathers in the, well, not fathers in apostolic, but you look at some of the great men of the Puritans, and even more recently than that, you see the George Whitfields and the Jonathan Edwards and the Charles Spurgeons that did these things, and they spoke to, and it still boggles my mind, but they spoke to sometimes tens of thousands of people without amplification, but they did it. And God used that, absolutely, to light fires of revival and spiritual renewal and true conviction of sin and regeneration. So, yes, absolutely. Now, that having been said, it is something that should be done with care and caution. It's got to be done by a man who's biblically qualified. If he's not biblically qualified to be preaching, then don't go out and preach. If you're hiding secret sin in your life, don't go out and preach. But if you're walking with the Lord and you're living a life of personal holiness and you're connected to a local church, that's important. You've got to be no lone rangers out there. If you're connected to a local church, yeah, and you meet the biblical qualifications, absolutely. Go out and open air preach and pass out gospel tracts, 100%. Yep.
Okay. Awesome.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah,
he put some things in perspective there. We have met, and this is Pastor Chris's conviction as well, right? We met some guys out there on the bridge one time who weren't part of a local church.
Right,
were out there witnessing, doing some evangelism, and as we walked away, when they told him that, he kind of stressed to them, guys, you need to be part of a local church, right? And as we walked away, they should always be under the headship of elders and pastors. And this is important. This is not anything to play with. I think this is important. We need to be able to go to those that are the leaders that we have and let them know this is what we're out there doing. And they'll be praying for us. If anything, they'll be praying for us. To go out and win souls. He that wins souls is wise. You got to be part of a local church. So I love the fact that Justin Peters went through that. Anything to add, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love that line. There's no Lone Ranger. I mean, even Lone Ranger had Tonto, right? I mean, Jesus sent him out in pairs. I love the fact you go out with Rodion. I'm out there with Heath and some other guys, and you have more than just Rodion. But you have we don't go out by ourselves, and we're under the authority and of our local church and being held accountable and being taught, sitting under the authority. So all those qualifications. Absolutely. And I love the fact you're not walking in continual sin, right? You're not doing something. No, I mean, we all sin and we confess and get right and all that. But there's a difference, and you know that. I love those qualifications. Justin is so thoughtful, and I loved how he processed that and kind of came back and put that. But I follow him on social media, and there's so many times. There was one time he talked about an airline experience where he got delayed, and he was able to witness to someone that he wouldn't have had he not been delayed. And he'll use every opportunity in the airports and anywhere he has to share the gospel. So Yeah, I love that man. He's awesome. So, yeah, that was another good one that just happened in a hallway. Walk into the bookstore.
Well, the last one, it looks like it's was at the booth. And so it looks like he may have come by. I did stop this man and shook his hand and told him, I appreciate all that you do, right? So Phil Johnson is the last guy that we got on tap to answer the question about the effectiveness of street preaching. Let's take a listen.
And again, if the person is qualified, the man is qualified, and preaching Christ crucified and biblically doing it, is street preaching, going out in the open air, preaching the Word of God, is it effective?
Absolutely, yes. If he's preaching the Word of God, because Scripture is very clear about this, God's Word doesn't return void. It always accomplishes its purpose. And its purpose in open air evangelism is to declare the gospel so that people actually hear it. And it doesn't, you don't gauge the effectiveness of it by how many people respond. But the fact is, there are people who are converted because they heard the gospel from a street preacher. I know at least five people who were converted because of street preachers who gave them the gospel. And so it's not a frequent thing. You hear more people say, well, I grew up in the church and I heard the gospel from my parents, and that's what they testify to in the baptistry. And that's common, and that is probably the most effective in the sense that people are actually converted strategy. But street preaching is an effective strategy as well, in that it exposes people who otherwise would never hear the gospel to the truth of the gospel. And sometimes they do respond. And I think even one soul is worth it. If you spent a year preaching the gospel on the street and only one person was ever converted, I would say you had a fruitful ministry. You look at Paul in Athens. He describes the fact that he spent the week, you know, in the marketplace disputing and basically discussing theology and proclaiming the gospel to people. And there's no record of any converts there. And they dragged him into the Areopagus, Mars Hill, where he could speak to the philosophers. And the description of that is there were some who were interested and said, you know, maybe we should hear more from this guy. But most people went away angry that he was teaching the resurrection of the body. Was that effective? Absolutely it was effective. And that's why the Word of God records it. That's legitimate ministry if you've faithfully proclaimed the gospel, even if no one ever responds. But I have this secret wish to see more and more people converted by street preachers, because I think street preaching gets a bad rap these days. I love it when I see a guy out there preaching the gospel. We have a guy in our community who he doesn't really preach, but he holds up a sign quoting a Bible verse and urging people to repent. He's been doing it for years. He stands on the street corner and does it. And I give him a honk and a wave every time I drive by. I'm glad he's there. The people in my community can never say that they didn't hear the gospel or they didn't know that they needed to repent. They were told, and they may not respond, but there's that guy out there faithfully declaring the word.
That's awesome.
Last one. That was pretty good. I he didn't say as much, but that guy is sharing the gospel,
right?
So right. He's sharing, even with just a sign, he's sharing the gospel. He's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I've seen that before myself. You don't have to be eloquent of speech. We talked about that before. Like, there are some people that are never going to be this eloquent speaker, right? But you're preaching the gospel when you hand out a gospel tract. You're preaching the gospel when you hold up a Bible verse, you know, one that pertains. Let's just say, I mean, wept is not gonna. Let's just. I will say this was a interesting man, Brian. You worked hard over those 3 days over at G3. I can see that you were really working at that. I know that your desire for this. For this ministry to grow. And I tell you what, whenever I hear the questions or the doubts that I get from, let's just be honest, not from outside the church, it's from inside the church.
Right.
And it's something I have been told. I was on a missions trip and I started handing out gospel tracts and I was told, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm handing out gospel tracts. it's interesting to let's just face facts. It's within the church, people within the church that are embarrassed by it,
right,
or ashamed of it, right, or they're just not they don't think it should be done that way, and yet the Bible is replete with examples of open air preaching, right? Replete with just like examples for us to follow on what should be happening out in the streets. How will we reach those that never set foot inside a church, right? Right. How, right? You know, this is another thing. I just want to go back to Voddie Baucham for a minute. Mm-hmm. Voddie Baucham was raised by a single mother who was a Buddhist. He did not step his foot in a Christian church. It was in college that his I think his one of his dorm mates, one of the guys that was in the dorm with him, mm-hmm. presented the gospel to him. Right? Think about that. This guy's not in a church preaching, but he's preaching to someone that was a friend of his, and Voddie came. Like we need to know and understand God has called us to go out, right, and to preach the gospel. So. Mm-hmm. Great question, great answers, great interviews.
What started too is Paul Washer had a video out on YouTube, and they asked him about street preaching. This is an old one. He didn't have his beard, so it was a few years old. But he had said, you know, and again, kind of what I'm feeding off Phil and what he talked about, you know, it gets a bad rap. And there are a lot of bad street preachers out there. I get it. But one thing is, you know, what Brother Paul talked about was, you know, just there are bad preachers out there in churches. That don't mean we don't go to church, right? we find a good biblical church preaching the word of God. So same thing out. We shouldn't shrink back and say, you know what? There's a bunch of bad preaching on the street. Let's not do it. Because, bro, you know it. I know it. There's so many people out there that have never heard the gospel. And what I'm finding a lot is not so much gospel hardened as much as gospel ignorant. I mean, I get asked a lot of questions. The people can't explain the gospel. And I'm not just talking about people that don't believe. I'm talking about people that claim that they are part of a church and they're hearing the wrong gospel or a perverted gospel or a cult that has a absolute, you know, heretical gospel. So I think out on the street, you get the opportunity of people that have never stepped foot in a church, but you also have people that are in wrong churches and are hearing a false gospel. And if you're doing it right, we shouldn't shrink back, right? We should press on and go out, because what I'm seeing, there are a lot of evangelists out there that have bad theology. What I'm also seeing, a lot of good theologians aren't evangelizing. So how do we get better theology in our evangelism efforts? And how do we get more out there to counteract or you know, go out there and get the true gospel message out? And again, with the effort of trying to connect them to a local church, if possible, trying to connect them to the Word of God. We give away free Bibles, all that. But at the end of the day, man, people are not hearing the pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can do it. And that's the plan. So, man, I tell you, there was one story that, man, just, I mean, there were so many that encouraged me, bro, at the booth talking about. We had Ryan Hartzell. Hope you're listening, Ryan, from Pennsylvania. Man, brother was just on fire. He was telling me, he reminded me of episodes I forgot we even did. He listened to them all. He was, how are they helpful? And I put out a little video. I said, man, can I get that on recording? And he was able to record that for me. It was a little short. But man, there were these three girls that they were all airline attendants, flight attendants, that were all together with Delta. But then after COVID, they kind of split up. But one was in Miami, one was in Georgia, one was in Kentucky. Anyway, I hope you ladies are listening. Might be doing a church, an event down in Florida, Lord willing. But anyway, I guess they were sitting out eating some food out on the front like porch or whatever you want to call it of the convention center outside and the thing, and they were noticing a couple that were witnessing to a worker or two there, right there in front of them, right, and they were able to hear everything, and they were talking like, man, I wish we could do that. You know what? We need to learn how to evangelize like that. So they went up and asked the couple when it was over. And the couple said, well, yeah, you can learn how to do that. And there's a ministry that'll help you do that. And they're actually in the arena, and they're called Hearts for the Lost. Go find the booth and get taught how to do this. You can do it, and encourage them. They came by the booth, man. We all just had, bro, it was so encouraging. Cause sometimes you just wonder, are we having an impact out there? Right. And I know it's selfishness and I shouldn't need to know that. Let's do what we do. And the Lord will take care of that. But every once in a while, Lord throws us a bone but that encouragement, man, I will never forget that story. So hopefully I've got those. I couldn't find where I wrote down the girl's name, but anyway, the one in Miami said she's going to take back and hopefully we get down there. But just so many stories of the podcast or the ministry. I know Pastor Mark up in Buffalo and Ray, they were just floored. We're going to do a testimonial video. I just got to get that one put together and edited, but we'll get that one out. But they want to have us back next year or someday to kind of follow up and do more. So, I mean, just the you know, impact that we can have just all by the grace of the Lord, right? Just showing our passion, what we love to do, and just, again, equipping, educating, right, and getting people excited to go out and share their faith is just such a blessing to do. So, yeah, that's just a couple of the stories. There's so many. But that one with the three girls from the flight attendants was just so powerful. And, man, just made me like, okay.
Cool. Man, I would have loved to have been at the booth at that moment when they came over to say that had happened. What a crazy thing. I did see workers, and I did feel it. Like, every time I saw a worker, I felt like I gave a few thank you cards.
Yep.
Right. But, man, it would have been good to get into an evangelism conversation at that point. But we have taken more than the hour. Of course, we always do. So we're a little bit over. But let's get the commercials out of the way. I guess
there you go,
as man. Far as you want to say the announcements. Let's get the announcements done real quick.
Yeah. So obviously, you talked about thank you card track, but any tracks you need, whether it's gospel tracks, branded tracks with your church on it, you can customize your track. Go to trackplanet.com. They were there at the show as well with Andy and the couple there that was missionaries working with them. Had a really cool story with the thank you card, actually. Jimmy, my pastor and I, Blake, were talking before I left with the thank you card. He's like, there's really, you know, I know you say, you know, I want to thank you for whatever you're doing. And on the back's the gospel. And you're supposed to say, you know, what we're thankful for is on the back. But if you don't get that out or whatever, there's really no transition. So I was kind of praying through that. And then I went to Andy and he goes, you know what, Brian, I was going to tell you, we need to work on a little transition, kind of the first sentence. And lo and behold, brother, the sovereignty of God, which was the theme of the conference anyway, a missionary came to me and said, hey, man, we use a thank you card. And he gave me his thank you card that he and on the back, it just says, thank you so much for all you do. As an extension of my appreciation, I want to share to you what I'm thankful for. And actually printed that as the first line. So really nice transition at the top. So I'm going to redo the back of our thank you card and get that done. But just all by the sovereignty of God, right? Talking to my pastor a couple of days before the conference, talking with Andy, he kind of agreed. And then a missionary came up with a thank you card and showed me what we need to do. So anyway, trackplanet.com, doing great. Actually, we had a shipping issue. We got really cool bookmarks that Andy did for us. So we're going to have those at the next. I'll send you some. Hearts for the Lost bookmarks. I thought that'd be really cool at the conference to give out. So, but oh, well, we got a box here now. So, yeah, go to Track Planet for all your needs, man. He'll take care of you. So social media, man. Right now, we're working with a bunch of churches. I know I got one in Texas I'm working with. You're working with one in Florida, I think it is, north of Tampa. Yeah. I know Buffalo's coming up next year, maybe again. Think about Westfield again next year. We're working on that. So 24 starting to shape up a little bit.
That sounds good. So if you're listening, please go out to the website, heartsforlost.com. Read about us. We got an about you page, about us page. It tells you what the ministry is about. Like we say all the time, the podcast is just an extension of the true ministry, which is to come out to your local church and to teach evangelism, right? That is ever growing. Brian's got a vision of expanding out the ministry. We might start doing a Compelled conference that's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. We might have different ways that it looks depending on the size of your church. There's a lot of different ideas that we got going on, but basically we will come out. We want to teach evangelism. We want to fellowship with the people that show up at the conference, and we want to go out in the streets and put it all into practice. And it is, again, at no cost to the local church. The big thing is, this shouldn't cost the local church anything. This should be something. I mean, a small local church really doesn't have the means or the funds to get the big names to come out. So you'll get some of the smaller names, which are Brian and myself and the team, Hearts for the Lost team. But man, we're more than willing, and we have the experience. We've been out there doing it. We've been out there witnessing for a while. So have us come out. I guarantee you that we have the passion for it. And we want to train, we want to equip, we want to get people excited and energized about it. Go ahead, Brian.
No, one thing, I just, on the website, if you see it, and I got a question on this at the show, and I've got to change it, and I haven't done it yet, so hold me accountable. But on there it says we really want 50 people at an event. I'm going to change that. The number doesn't matter. The only thing we want to do is talk with the church and the pastor and the elder, obviously, to make sure it's authorized. But we just need a count so that we know how many people to come, right? I want to be a good steward of our donors' money. And if we only have 10 or 12 people, we'll still come, but maybe we'll bring 3 or 4 people versus all 9, right? So we just want to judge how many people come to the event based on the numbers. But numbers don't matter. If you have a small group, maybe just Jimmy and I come. I don't know. We'll figure that out, but just don't. I'm gonna change that on the website. But if you get on there and that number 50 is on there, it is, because that's the way it used to be. I just haven't changed it yet. I'll get on that.
Yeah, and at the website you'll also find a donate button. So if you're on the other side of things and you find there's value in this ministry, you want to give to this ministry, you want to see this ministry continue to do what it does. You know, God always provides. He uses a person like you, if you're listening, if that's getting you, he uses you to provide for a ministry like this that will go out and do what he's called us to do. So click the donate button, become a partner one time, become a partner many times, weekly, monthly, however you want to do it. Give into this ministry. Don't forget your local churches first. That is very important. Give it to your local church first, but consider Hearts of the Lost as a ministry that you can donate to. At this point, Brian, what else do we have?
Yeah, social media. You can get me at @B9. You can get at Los Jimmy if you want to go on Twitter or X, whatever now. At Hearts H4TL, the podcast is our Twitter. I'm sorry, X podcast thing. I'm getting a lot of people sign up for that. We got Facebook, Jimmy's name, Brian's name. Then we do have a Hearts for the Lost. There is a private evangelism page, which is growing. We're getting close to 300 people, bro, on that thing. If you want, friend me. I try to invite every friend request I get to the evangelism page. And then, yeah, man, that's the social media side. We're trying to do a better job keeping people up to date on that.
All right. So we got one quarter of this year left. We might just relax a little bit, and 2024 start it up again. Let's see what we can do.
And the one good thing with all those interviews and people, we have some really cool guests coming up in the next few months. We still want to keep it where Jimmy and I are obviously doing this back and forth, and we'll bring in a guest every once in a while. I think next month we got one lined up for the mid month, but yeah, we got some really cool guests that said yes, so now it's just making it all work. But we got some shows lined up. 24 is looking really good, Lord willing. And Jimmy, you good, man?
Well, I just want to let the audience know, not that they can know this ahead of time, but this will not drop on October 1st because that's Lord's Day. This will drop on the 2nd. And
the 16th.
And the 16th, too. Because, again, we have decided, Brian and myself, that the Lord's Day is precious. So we want you to focus in on worship of our Lord. So this will drop on October 2nd, and then 2 weeks later, October 16th, and then we'll get back into our regular schedule, 1st and 15th, starting in November. With that being said, Brian.
Yeah, like we say, have a heart and go share your faith.